So I've put a few things together tonight, so I'm going to just trust the Spirit to take us where He wants to take us tonight. The disciples had this burning desire to see the Father. You know, Jesus spent 30 years before He started His ministry, 3 years in ministry, and the disciples walked with Him. They saw the signs and wonders. They saw the miracles. They saw Jesus doing amazing things. And Jesus then, He speaks here in John 14, from verse 7. If you know Me, you will also know My Father. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Lord, Philip, said Philip, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, Philip, all this time? And you ask Me, show us the Father? The one who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, Philip, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on My own. The Father lives in Me, does His works. Believe Me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in Me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. So this is something so amazing. The Lord showed me this. You know, Philip had this desire to see the Father. And Jesus basically told him, Philip, I've been with you all this time. How can you ask Me this question? Show us the Father. Jesus was in a close relationship with His Father. And He said, I do nothing that I don't see My Father do. And that was so amazing too. Every time I read that, I'm like, wow, Jesus, you operated in such authority, but yet you had that connection with the Father at all times. And even before Jesus started His ministry, after He was baptized, we read that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon Him like a dove. And the Father spoke, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So right there, affirmation again from the Father. When I saw this, I immediately think of the church. You know, we know all about good teaching. We know all about good sermons. We have all those boxes ticked and how we do church and how we present ourselves in the church. And my question to you is it possible that we miss the heart of the Father? Even in our devotion, even in our quiet times, we have the right intentions. Our intention is to please the Father. Our intentions are to be true disciples. But sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we operate from a place of legalism. Sometimes we operate as slaves, not as sons. And God just brought this to me to share this with you, that there's something He wants to stir in your hearts tonight. So I don't know where you're at. God knows. You know where you're at. And as I'm speaking, I'm just challenging the spirit of condemnation in the name of Jesus. I just cancel that right now. But as you listen, that God's Spirit will touch your heart and may bring over you something that will bring a release of that grace into your lives in Jesus' name. Okay, so then please turn with me to Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. I'm sure you guys know the story of the prodigal son. It's a very familiar passage. I'm often reminded every time I read this, I think about where we lived in Cape Town. We lived on a farm, beautiful farm, and then the farm next door to us, they had pigs. So the smell you get from there is like unbearable sometimes. And we used to work with the teenagers at a rehab center. And often we talk about prodigal son, how he spent his time with the pigs. And we could literally say, can you smell that? You don't want to end up there. So, yeah, just, I'm going to not read the whole chapter. I'm just going to go from where the son returns to his father. Let me see. From verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This is now after the son decided, you know, I had enough of this lifestyle. I'm coming to my senses now. I've got a father back home who's waiting for me. I'm going to go to him. Verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Before I continue, you can see the affirmation there from the father. That son, the younger son, had a different picture. He's going to go home. The father's going to shout at him. And he's going to be rejected. And he even said, Father, can I please be one of your servants? I'm not worthy to be called your son. So he prepared himself mentally to work as a servant. But his father saw him afar off and ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him, even though he smelled like a pig. How many times does Father God run to us when we are still afar off? When we don't deserve his mercy, when we don't deserve his compassion, when we smell like the sin of the world and with the stains of this worldly culture we're in, he embraces us, he welcomes us back. So this son received affirmation, and just watch this. The robe he gave him, the ring, the sandals, is very symbolic, and it speaks of identity. Identity and authority. He was not just an everyday anymore. It wasn't just a son coming back. He was now affirmed by his father, and grace was activated in his life. And God always does this, no matter how far you've fallen. When you come back to him, it's almost like he gives you more. I've seen it many times in my own life. When I have to start way down again from where I had started 10 years ago, God says, no, my grace is sufficient. And a scripture that says, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And we see lawlessness today. We see, what's happening in the schools, on campuses all over the country. And you see lawlessness. It's a spirit of lawlessness. And we ask ourselves, where's the hope for our children? And here's the hope for our children. When they find their identity in Christ and know where their father is, they will be true leaders of tomorrow. And they will step out with authority. So here's this picture. The prodigal son lived, spent his father's inheritance, and came back, thinking to be received as a servant, but yet he came back. His father welcomed him as a son, affirmed him. The garment, the ring, the sandals speaks of his identity and authority. It was the best robe that they normally kept for the guest of honor. So no matter where you're at in your life, you're always welcome to come back to the Father. And he waits for you. And I love the song we sang earlier, You're a Good, Good Father. It's who you are. That's who he is. Do we see it? Or how do we read scripture? It's easy to go back to Egypt in an instant because of our expectations sometimes, or because of our experiences sometimes. We don't think God sees us as sons. We're still trapped in Egypt, but God wants to remove Egypt from us. And it takes a running back to the Father. And what he will do to us sometimes might surprise you. So we see here the prodigal son, he was affirmed. Now what about the older son? We often don't read about his story. Let's see what he says. We pick up from verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat, I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son of yours came, just see the attitude there. He doesn't even say, my brother. But as soon as the son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So when I read that again, I read this many times because, like I said, we used to work with drug addicts, alcoholics in Cape Town, and many of their stories are similar. You know, they've wandered off and they try to fill their lives with drugs and whatever substances they could find to fill the void, and they come to the Father and they feel accepted and they're being affirmed. But now this other boy right here, he didn't see himself as a son. You know, he said, Father, I've been with you all this time, and yet you didn't even give me the young goat. But yet this boy, he gets the fatted calf. What's up with that? And his father plainly said, but you've been with me all this time. All that I have is yours. And that's Father God's message for us tonight. All that he has is yours. And he gave his very best. He gave his son, Jesus Christ. And the word says, if he gave his very best, how much more will he not give with him freely, to give us freely all things to enjoy? And that is what comes with Jesus, his grace, his mercy, his truth. And, you know, we often think about grace, and there's a lot of teaching about grace, and we get it sometimes wrong, that it's a license to sin. It's not a license to sin. If you are a son and you know your father loves you, it doesn't give you the right to just go and live the way you want. John chapter 1 talks about Jesus Christ. I'll find the scripture now. John chapter 1 verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So here's the balance. We talk about grace, but also talk about truth. Grace activates sonship and affirms our identity in him. Truth exposes every lie and keeps us grounded in the faith. Always remember that there's that balance. That's why Jesus Christ came full of grace, full of truth. He didn't do away with the old covenant. He came to actually establish and confirm that and an added grace. So how do we deal with an orphaned heart? We ask the Holy Spirit to bring a revelation of who we are. We ask the Holy Spirit, show us the Father. Like Philip. You see, he has seen the miracles. And I can tell you, I've been in church for many, many years. As a pastor's kid, I've seen many miracles. I've heard great teachings. We've been to many outreaches, many missions. And we are in a great church. I can say Shofar Church is an amazing church, amazing work. But how many times do we sit here and we do these things, but we have an orphaned heart because we've lost connection with the Father? Operate from another place. It's not sonship. It is legalism sometimes. And I think the Holy Spirit wants to open our eyes to that truth. And let's read what the Holy Spirit is doing. And he's the one that gives us revelation. So in Luke, if you're making notes, you can write down Luke. Apologies, not Luke, John. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 18. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. And we see that the Holy Spirit did come in the book of Acts. And that was another outpouring of the Spirit that just activated something in the disciples, in the apostles' lives. So Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you abandoned. I will come to you. And he did that through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is available right now. The Holy Spirit is right here, right now. And Jesus, I love, you know, his parables. One of the foundational parables for me is in John chapter 15, where he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and my word abide in you. You'll bear much fruit. And we're going to look at how that looks like when the Lord actually prunes us, when he cuts things away from our lives. And that's also a word that came earlier, I believe. God wants to cut things off. And our attitude during that time speaks a lot about the condition of our hearts. Do we just want to hear good messages that will make us feel good? Or are we willing to receive a word from the Father, a word of correction, a word that maybe rebukes? And sometimes it's not easy to receive that word, but it's needed because sons receive discipline. Sons actually embrace discipline. So after we've received the understanding and revelation from the Holy Spirit who we are, and it only happens in a place of abiding. That's the only place when we can receive that revelation. It is not and we talk a lot about these days about experiences. I want to experience God. I want to encounter God. And we've got great events. We've got great meetings. And God often uses those meetings to just ignite something and prophetically put something in motion. But it's up to us to remain there. Jesus didn't say, if you visit me, he said, if you remain in me, you'll bear fruit. How does remaining in him look like practically? We have devotion time, we've got time of prayer. We go to him. Sometimes it means to be still and to know that he is Father. That's a good place to start. Put all your reasoning away, put it aside, and you tune into the voice of the Spirit. And sometimes you just healed and you wait on him. Sometimes it's not a quiet time. We always say, I'm going to have a quiet time now. And obviously, for many reasons, it's a quiet time. But sometimes it's going to be a time of dancing for 30 minutes. God's Spirit might tell you to dance. But if you have an orphan heart, you will not obey that voice. Because you're stuck in a place of, I've been abandoned. I've been overlooked. And in church, we get hurt many times. And many people in church have orphan hearts. Because they feel like they have not been affirmed. But if you're in that place of remaining in him and allowing his word to remain in you, God can cause on you to step out in faith and do something you've never done before. I've seen people that I was like, you will never get up and dance. I've seen it happen, and that set something in motion that actually caused that person's deliverance. So don't reason what God is instructing you to do. He might tell you, go to that person, give him a hug. Help this lady carry her bags across the street. Whatever it may be. God can't trust you with a massive word if you can't obey the simple words. That's where it starts. Amen. So let's look at the fun part, discipline. The book, we don't get these books in a Christian bookstores these days. And you probably won't put the scripture up on your refrigerator. But it's important. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. Hebrews 12, verse 7 to 11. So true sons embrace discipline. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children. And not sons. Furthermore, we had natural fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, based on what seemed good to them. But he does it for our own benefit, so that we can share his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but rather painful. Later on, however, it heals the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Strong words. So Here's what the Spirit is trying to bring across to us. A true son understands the heart of the father when he disciplines. I was in a time of in my life where I just wanted to hear good messages about how God can bless me, how God can launch me into something great, and how I can feel good and look good. And when God brought me through a season of pruning, remember I said earlier about John chapter 15, when Jesus says, those he loves, disciplines, and he prunes, so we can bear more fruit. When I was in that time of pruning, I would say, no, Lord, I don't want this. I'm going to go to another place where I can feel comfortable. But once this revelation of who I am as a son was imparted in me, and knowing who my father is in heaven, I'm now in a place where I'm like, Lord, please discipline me. Please correct me. And I'd rather be in a place where I'm receiving discipline and know that I'm right where God wants me to be, than be in a place where I'm hearing words that make me feel good, just to give me a nice feeling, but it won't be effective. And that's the thing, that we need to be on our alert, because God is challenging us these days to be Christians that eat the meat. Milk comes through others, through the mother. But meat, we need to go and hunt for ourselves. And getting the meat often means you need to go through the time of pruning, go through the time of discipline. It can sometimes take days, weeks, or months. But I tell you what, if you're in that place and you remain in him, you'll come out stronger. You come out with a fresh relation and understanding of who Father God is. And it's often in those times where he imparts much of his heart to us. And like the word says here, if we are without discipline, we are illegitimate. That's pretty intense. So if we are sons, we actually will embrace discipline. Another exciting thing that this is from our experience on the village. You know, God showed me again the scripture in Romans. I love Romans. Just God is, just the solid stuff in Romans about our identity and the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's beautiful. The spirit of adoption. Once we've received the spirit of adoption, we cry out from our spirit, from our inner man, Abba, Father, which basically is saying, Daddy. Daddy, God. That's so affectionate. And a heart that's bound to fear just shows the orphaned heart. It just shows, it actually confirms that you haven't dealt with that spirit yet. If you're bound in fear, what is Book of John said, the Apostle 1 John, I think it's chapter 4. Fear involves torment, but perfect love drives out all fear. And the torment the church is under is that exact place. They don't know who they are. They don't see themselves as sons and daughters, and they don't see him, Father God, as Abba Father. And it doesn't stop there with your identity. It goes further. Why is God wanting to bring this revelation to the church? It's because he's looking for people to move with him. You know, creation waits for the sons of God to be revealed. They can't wait for us to step into that place of authority. But if we are stuck in our, poor old me, self-image, God can't move through us. And once we know who we are in him, we can break free from a yoke of legalism, operate as sons. And someone prayed about the heavy yoke, or the easy yoke. Jesus made that invitation in Matthew. Come unto me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, those who are burdened. Learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble at heart. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And That's the journey God has just, we've been just walking through this last couple of months, and God's been talking to us about a place of rest. We can be more effective if we operate in the place of rest, where we are yoked with Christ. It's an effortless grace. It's a journey with Him where we discover I can be so effective for Christ if I abide in Him, if I'm yoked with Him. And as we're yoked with Christ, He pulls the weight. We're just yoked with Him. And it's the rhythm of His grace. So we just pretty much position ourselves, we posture our hearts and say, Lord, wherever you're going, we are going. Therefore, it's important not to compare yourself with another Christian. God might take that person to another level or season where he's running fast, seemingly, and it looks like you're standing still. But perhaps that's where Christ is there with you for your season, for your time. So you need to be yoked with him and discover the rhythms of his grace for your personal life. But I've discovered the mission that Abba Father has for his sons. And the mission to impact creation, to impact communities, to impact families. Like we're part of now at Love Village. You know, these children, like I said, they come to us with often the words of prophecies and visions that God has given them. We had a daughter, she was 11 years old, and she stayed with us for a couple of weeks. And broken and just neglected, and people had spoken words of death over her life. And as a result, she suffered from a poor self-image. And we just affirmed her. And in fact, we've got this ministry at Love Village called Abba's Lounge. It's a cool name. And basically, it's a place where children can come and sit at Abba's feet, sit at the feet of the Father. And in that time of prayer, they receive affirmation. They receive their identity. And so this girl, long story short, we were in church worshiping. And I noticed she sat down and took out a piece of paper and wrote something. And afterwards, we went home. I asked her, what did you write down? And it was just basically what Jesus personally showed her, who she is. And she wrote that down. This is a girl that never really had a revelation of who she is. But Father God, in that time of worship, revealed that to her. That to me was very encouraging. Yes, we can speak life. We can say these things to them. But to bring them to a place at Abba's Lounge, where they can encounter him, that's when miracles happen. So my word for you, do you know a place called Abba's Lounge in your life where you can sit with him? Ephesians says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And Jesus again in Matthew where he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. That place of rest is not now and then. We think, okay, I must work, work, work. And then when I'm tired, especially this time of the year, people have these depressing thoughts about I haven't accomplished what I thought I would this year. What about next year? What am I going to do? People get suicidal, they get depressed. They see counselors because they've never remained in a place of rest. We actually have a testimony about this past conference. Karen obviously had to put everything together for the big event. And before we went, God gave us a word that this is going to be different. It's going to be from a place of rest. Previously, it was running around, sleepless nights. I mean, it's a massive thing. You that have been there would know. It's guests that you need to book hotels for and accommodation for. It's a lot of admin. But the Lord gave us a word for many people. This one will be different. It will feel like effortless grace. And it was like that. My wife can testify of that. And I just thank God for that revelation. But it's not just for a certain few, it's for all of us. Whatever you do, whatever God has called you to do, whether it's ministry like we, you know, as a full-time minister or whatever, wherever you are, whatever office you are, whatever department you are, where God has placed you, there's a grace for you. As a saying, if you're out of your grace, you're out of your place, and you'll fall on your face. Do not compare yourself with somebody else. There's a specific place that God has called you to be, a grace to function. Whether it is preaching, whether it's marketing, whether it's teaching, whatever it might be, politics, business, if you're in your grace, there's going to be an anointing for that. But whatever you do, do it from a place of rest. So, before I close, I think my time is up. My wife keeps time. I think I have to come back. I've got so much more to say. Yeah, so my prayer tonight, as we just open our hearts, that we will invite the Holy Spirit to reveal Father God to us. And we're talking about the orphaned heart. And this year, God has challenged me on that very thing. And now, like I said, growing up in the church, I really had a good relationship with my earthly father. And there was one point, I remember it, I was walking from the office on the village back to our cluster. And this revelation or awareness came up, I am a son. I'm actually born again. Although I've given my heart to Christ when I was 11 years old, I knew what to do right. All the boxes were ticked. Missions, Bible school, small group, all these things that are right to do to grow spiritually and to be discipled, which is good to do. But there was a point in my life where God just said, I'm going to father you now. And as God said that, something just broke loose in my spirit. And I felt like I'm born again for the first time. And my prayer is that many of you will experience that. Because it's not just about you, it's about the children out there. We're looking at the orphans. We're going to have the orphan day in a week's time to bring awareness about who they are and about their need. But if we can't operate from the place of sonship, how can we serve them? And I pray that tonight God will just begin to stir in your hearts to draw near to Him. And as you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you with that revelation. So just a few people that I want to just encourage to, if you need prayer tonight, those that operate on legalism all your life, you've done all the right things. You knew what to do and how to do it, but still you feel like you're not really a son in the house or a daughter. You still feel like you're a slave. You know, like the eldest son. He was with his father all the time, but he did not receive what his father had for him. While the youngest son, he was affirmed by his father. He received the ring and the rope, the sandals. His identity was affirmed. So tonight, if that is you, let us pray for you tonight. And let us just trust God to bring back the joy of your salvation. And that's what I felt as well. Many of you have been saved for a long time. But invite the Holy Spirit to bring back the joy of your salvation. Let it be natural. Let it flow from you. And we can do many outreaches. But as you go, this is what God's going to do, I feel prophetically. As you go to different places in this life, wherever you are, Abba's going to manifest Himself in a tremendous way in you and through you, where it becomes very spontaneous. It's a lifestyle Christianity. It's not a Sunday to Sunday thing. Not at all. It's a lifestyle. You can sit at the beach and lead someone to Christ like the other day. We had the privilege. We were minding our own business. We were going for a swim. God brought this hinder person to us and we could lead him to the Lord. He was in tears. And that only happened because I allowed the Holy Spirit to show me who my Father is and who I am as a son. And many of you, when you walk in that revelation and that reality, it's not going to be, oh, I must go out there and do something for the Lord. It's going to be your lifestyle. You carry His presence. You carry His life. And as you go, you touch people. I want to pray for us tonight, and I'll invite Kurt to come up. Father, we just thank you so much for reminding us tonight that you are a father who longs to have his children sitting at his feet. Thank you for a place called Abba's Lounge for all of us tonight, where we can come and just be with you. Thank you for a place called rest, where we can abide in you, Lord Jesus, and your word abide in us. And even though it's a time of discipline sometimes and a time of pruning, we can experience joy. We can experience rest because we've been affirmed by you, Father God. And we thank you, Lord. I just pray for many, those who have lost the joy of their salvation. I pray, Holy Spirit, tonight, as your presence is so real and tangible, may they just receive your joy even right now, Lord. Thank you for a stirring to come back to you. Even though they feel far away from you, Father, they can come back to you. And even though they are coming to you, Father, you are running towards them like the Father in the story. And you fall on them and you embrace them. You welcome them back. And even many maybe be the eldest son who was there all the time, been in church all their lives, heard all the sermons, but yet didn't receive what the Father had for them because of a wrong image. I pray for those tonight, Lord, that they will encounter you and experience a deliverance in that area in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Spirit of God, for who you are. And Jesus, we know that what you start, you're faithful to complete. In Jesus' name, amen.